WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. Yes, good afternoon, ladies and gents and boys and girls. It's 1 p.m. once again, and you know that means Current Sports has graced your radio. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin, thanking all of you for allowing me to be a part of your Friday afternoon. Yes, TGIF, the weekend is right around the corner. I hope you all take a load off and chillax a bit. We have a ton to get to on today's Current Sports, though. And I want to remind you all that you can be a part of the hands-on discussion here on Current Sports each and every day. Follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR and like our Current Sports Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I also want to thank all of you who tuned in to last night's episode of Current Sports TV as I sat down with former MSU basketball player turned high school basketball coach Carlton Valentine. If you missed it, we have that interview on today's show coming up in just a second. I know many of you were probably like me and flipping back and forth due to the Tigers and Sox game, and I know there are many Tigers fans out there hurting right now. Yes, as the Tigers are now hanging by their teeth to keep those World Series hopes alive. Now, we'll be taking your calls throughout today's show on whether or not you think the Tigers are done, finito. Or do they still have some fight left in them? We are also going to take your calls on all of the gridiron games taking place this weekend. MSU and Purdue tomorrow, Michigan and Indiana tomorrow, and of course the Lions and Bengals this Sunday. Call us, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Well, let's dive right into today's show, shall we? Here are your current sports headlines on this October 18th, 2013. Well, as mentioned, the Detroit Tigers, they fell to the Boston Red Sox last night, 4-3. Now, Boston returns to Fenway Park with a 3-2 lead in the American League Championship Series. The Red Sox can win the AL pennant Saturday when the Tigers' Max Scherzer faces Boston Red Sox Clay Buchholz in Game 6. Now, Mike Napoli opened a 3-run second inning with his homer off of Anibal Sanchez. Now, Detroit starters had allowed only 3 runs in 27 innings through the first 4 games of the series, but that all went out the window. After pitching 6 no-hit innings in Game 1, Sanchez allowed 4 hits, 3 earned in 6 innings Thursday. Now, Sanchez, he struck out 5, 9 hits on him. It was not a great day for him. Now, John Lester allowed 2 runs and 7 hits in 5 and 1/3 innings. He walked 3 and struck out 3. And the Boston bullpen held on to finish off the 4th game of the series to be decided by 1 run. Miguel Cabrera said after the game, quote, "We have to go to Fenway, and we have to fight hard enough to win a game. If we do that, we have to keep fighting and get the next one. We've done this before, and we've got great pitchers. We just have to do our job." So we'll see how that plays out. Again, we're going to take your calls throughout the entire show on Detroit falling to the Boston Red Sox. Do they still have some fight left in them, and will they pull out this series? 517-355-9527. Of course, we're going to dive more into that game later on in this hour. All right, Nolan Ryan. Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan announces resignation effective at the end of the month as CEO of the Texas Rangers on Thursday. He also sold his ownership stake in the club to co-chairman of the board Bob Simpson and Ray Davis. Now, Ryan, who is 66, left the door open for getting back in the game of baseball, but said he hasn't decided what he will do with his future yet. He went on to say, quote, "Will I be the CEO of another major league ball club? No, I won't. But I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that I don't know what a year from now might bring. This might be the final chapter of my baseball career. If there was something else I did, it certainly wouldn't be in the role I had with the Rangers." Now, one of Ryan's sons is the president of the Houston Astros, but Nolan Ryan said he wants to spend time with his grandkids and work on his Texas ranch for now. All right, MSU volleyball. The Michigan State volleyball team dropped its first Big Ten Conference match of the season with a 3-2 loss at number 10 Minnesota on Thursday evening. It was an error-filled slugfest in both sides as both teams hit under 100, but put up a huge, huge fight as far as the blocking numbers were concerned. Minnesota had 15.5 blocks while the Spartans had 13. Now, MSU falls to 17-2 and 6-1 in the Big Ten. Lauren Wozinski led all players with 22 kills, which tied her season best, and she added a season-best 15 digs. She also tied her career high in attempts with 70, which she had previously set while playing at Northern Illinois in a September 2011 game against Ball State. Now, MSU will be back in action on Sunday when it travels to Wisconsin for a 2 p.m. Eastern Time matinee. Now, the game will be televised by the Big Ten Network. And it's officially hockey season, folks. The MSU men's squad opens its campaign tonight against UMass in Elmhurst, Massachusetts. Now, looking to rebound from a difficult 2012 season, head coach Tom Anassis and the Spartans are looking to get off to a fresh start. Anassis goes on to say, quote, "The best way to gain confidence is by having some level of success. And in sport, it's measured by wins and losses." Preach, brother. That's so true, Tom. The Spartans are set to open their home schedule on October 25th against UMass Lowell. Open their inaugural Big Ten hockey season by hosting Minnesota December 6th and 7th. Midnight Madness is tonight, folks. That's right, all of you Spartan fans out there, the MSU men's and women's basketball teams are making their debut tonight in their annual Midnight Madness event over at the Breslin Center. Now, doors open at 8:30 p.m. with an autograph session around the Breslin Concourse, followed by the formal program, which begins at 9:30. Current Sports will be there. We'll have footage for you on the next episode of Current Sports TV next week as I sit down with Sally Nogle, so don't want to miss that. Now, Midnight Madness, the event is free. And will be the fans' first opportunity to see a highly touted Spartan team in action this season. Of course, this Michigan State men's basketball team, I mean, in every poll I look at, they're ranked number one or number two. I mean, high expectations this season. Go check it out. Again, the event is free. Doors open at 8:30, folks. The formal program begins an hour from that at 9:30 p.m. All right, though the Red Wings beat the Avalanche 4-2 to end Coach Patrick Roy's career-opening unbeaten streak last night, not all news out of Denver was good. Now, defenseman Nicholas Cronwall's hit was crunched. His head, was crunched into the boards by the Avs' left wing Cody McLeod early in the first period. Now, Cronwall was carted off the ice on a stretcher and is out indefinitely with a mild concussion and cuts to his ear. It was a crazy hit last night if you haven't seen that. The Wings were able to score on the ensuing power play with Johan Franzen netting the first two goals. Now, Pavel Datsyuk also added two goals. Jonas Gustafsson made 38 saves for his third consecutive victory, filling in for the injured Jimmy Howard. For the hit, McLeod will have an in-person hearing with the NHL Department of Player Safety. So, Nicholas Cronwall, he had to be, carried off in a stretcher off the ice, folks. It was a terrible hit last night. Wish him well. On Thursday, the Nets lifted Jason Kidd's number 5 to the rafters. The Nets retired Kidd's number in a ceremony before their former star coach coached them against the Miami Heat. Now, Kidd arrived in New Jersey in 2001 and promptly led the Nets to consecutive NBA Finals. He played with them until he was traded midway through the 07-08 season and is the franchise leader in numerous statistical categories still to this day. Now, Kidd retired last season after spending one season, his 19th, with the New York Knicks. He ranks second in NBA history in assists and steals and is third in three-pointers made. He won a pair of Olympic gold medals and helped Dallas win the 2011 NBA championship. Miami's LeBron James, who was Kidd's teammate on the 2008 Olympic team, said, quote, "One of the best point guards to ever play the game, I mean, from my perspective." Kidd said afterwards, quote, "When I got up there today, I take my teammates with me. He's such a classy guy. Congratulations to Jason Kidd on that that accomplishment there. All right, a friend of the show who was on here on Current Sports some time ago, Eric Almirola. NASCAR's random drug testing policy, though, nabbed its first Sprint Cup Series crew chief on Thursday. Now, NASCAR announced Todd Parrott, crew chief for the driver Eric Almirola at Richard Petty Motorsports, has been indefinitely suspended for violation of the sanctioning body substance abuse policy. This is from Sammy Johnson, RPM's vice president of operations and competition. He said in a statement, quote, "We have an expectation of all RPM employees to conduct themselves at the highest level of professionalism and within the competitive confines set forth by NASCAR." Now, Parrott won the Cup Series championship with driver Dale Jarrett in 1999 when both worked with Robert Yates Racing. He has 31 career wins. All right, this is a crazy story here. Maurice Cheeks, lipstick on a glass in Detroit Pistons coach Maurice Cheeks' Birmingham home triggered September's domestic violence police investigation, according to a report released today. Now, a 45-year-old Atlanta woman visiting Cheeks, who's 56 years old, in August told Birmingham police that she confronted him after finding a glass in the dishwasher rimmed with another woman's lipstick. Can't do that, Mo. Come on, man. She went on to say that, this is actually what the police officer wrote in the report. Quote, "During the argument, she threw the glass down a flight of stairs, shattering it on the bottom of the staircase. She stated Cheeks was trying to prevent her from leaving and was taking her belongings out of her suitcase and throwing them around the bedroom, screaming at her to clean up the broken glass, calling her a blankety blank blank blank." Now, the woman told police that Cheeks blocked her from leaving, again, pulling her hair, putting his fist against the side of her face. She said he agreed to let her leave when she agreed to clean up the broken glass. Instead, she fled and called 911. Now, Cheeks told officers that they were arguing. He denied he was violent, claiming he only blocked the door to keep her from leaving because he was concerned that she didn't know the area. Now, he admitted he put his hand on her hair, but denied pulling it. Now, officers arrested Cheeks, and the woman told investigators she would testify in court. The Birmingham police chief said the case is closed. After review by the prosecutor's office, he declined further comment. Now, the Detroit Free Press is reporting that Cheeks was arrested after this incident, while the Detroit News is reporting that he wasn't, or didn't say it in the article, I should say. So, wow, what a way to... to start the season. Your new coach is involved in the domestic abuse situation. Of course, the NBA season starts officially on October 29th. And, man, this is not the rep you want for your coach starting the season. Man, all right. Well, those are your current sports headlines for this October 18th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right here at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And we are taking your calls on the Tigers. Do you think they're done, or will they pull out some magic and get past the Bo Sox? Again, we also want to remind you all that you can call us and give us your game prediction for this weekend's gridiron action. Of course, MSU, Purdue, Michigan, Indiana, Bengals, and Lions. 517-355-9527. In the meantime, if you were watching the Tigers instead of Current Sports TV last night, which if you did, you hurt my feelings a little bit, but I totally understand. I was doing the same, all right? But if you missed it, don't fret. I got your back, all right? I got your back. I sat down with former MSU basketball player and now former basketball coach of the Lansing Sexton Big Reds, Carlton Valentine. Carlton is also the father to MSU basketball player Denzel Valentine and former Oakland baller Drew Valentine. Now, while at Sexton, Carlton won back-to-back state championships and became one of the best high school basketball coaches in this area, and that the state has ever seen, to be honest with you. So I had to start off the interview by asking him, why leave?
Quite honestly, like, my family wanted me to step down the year before because I had my older son, Drew, was going to be a senior at Oakland University, and my son, Denzel, was going to be a freshman at Michigan State, both playing basketball. So I had a lot of first and last, a lot of first for Denzel, you know, his first Midnight Madness, his first game, you know, a lot of Drew's last Midnight Madness, you know, his last game traveling and doing different things. But At that time, I felt like I couldn't go. You know, we had just won back-to-back state championships, mm-hmm. and there were some kids that I felt that still needed me along the way. One of my kids, Jalen Hayes, who's now playing at Oakland University, and I felt like, you know, I had the program going in the right direction, and you know, I felt like it was time. It was time. I felt it was time, and then, you know, someone else can do the job. Someone else can do the job. I think the program is headed in the right direction. When I first got there, there hadn't been a state championship won in over 50 years. The last championship mm-hmm. was in 59 and 60. And, wow. You know, we actually were very, very fortunate to go to the state championship in 2010, right. But we lost, you know. So we had three straight trips to the final game. And so the program was going in the right direction.
Yeah, because I remember it could have been back-to-back-to-back state championships. You guys finished runner-up that year before you guys won the two back-to-back. Now, you know, when I talked to you during that moment when you decided to step down and we talked, you were on the radio show, one of the biggest reasons I remember that really stuck out to me during that interview is when you talked about, you know, feeling as though you missed, you know, some moments when it came to Drew. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I did. You know, actually, Drew graduated April 27th, and his graduation was in the arena where they have their games at. And I'm right. sitting there, and he's walking across the stage. And I'm like, you know, what just happened here? Like, seriously, like, what just happened? My son just played 4 years of basketball, and I missed a lot of it. I missed a lot of it. I went to his home games, and I made the games when I could. And I'm like, no, you just can't miss another 4 years like that. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with Denzel being here. So I'm like, no, you know. And I always talk about prioritizing, you know, with my teams. You know, we've always talked about, you know, God, family, school, and sports.
I remember that.
You know what I mean? And so somewhere along the line, my family got neglected. But, you know, I thought that, you know, my basketball team, you know, I considered them family. But as far as, like, my own sons and my own kids, you know, and quite honestly, I never really enjoyed that. Like a father and son, because I was so focused on the team and so focused on everyone else that I never really had a chance to really zoom in and focus on my kids like that. So I'm like, no.
It's not going to happen with Denzel.
Well, you know.
That's what you're going through your mind.
I think Drew understood why I was coaching. And so, you know, he has a great understanding. And as he moves on in his career and he sees, you know, what coaching is all about, he understands why I didn't leave when I did, and but I think he knows that I'll be there for Denzel for his career there at MSU.
Right, and that's something I want to add. That was my next question. I mean, is that something that you talked to once that moment hit you and you saw, you know, Drew walk across that stage? Did you talk to Drew after that moment and say, man, you know, what in the world happened?
Well, yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it, you know, and it was. It was a plethora of emotions at that point, man. You know what I mean? You excited, you know, you're like, wow, man, you just graduated college, man. You know, what did I miss? You know, he played in the Carrier Dome, you know, against Syracuse, you know, he went to Kansas and played. He played in some big games all over the country, and I never traveled to watch him play. I never traveled because I was focused on our team, focused on our program, and focused on the things I was doing at home, so.
But he understood this when you had this conversation.
Oh yeah, I tried to make every single home game that I could make. If we didn't play the same night, I was trying to be there.
Right, gotcha. Now, Carlson, looking at your great career that you had at Sexton, I mean, 7 years, you know, state championships, so on and so on. Has it hit you yet that you're no longer the coach at Sexton? I mean, when has it hit you? And, you know, what are you gonna miss the most about, you know, coaching high school basketball?
It hit me.
It hit you.
It hit me because, like, you know, for me, to do that job that I did, it was a year-round job. You just don't show up in November and then go out and coach your team and win state championship. For me, I was working year-round with that team, okay? For example, during the summer, I took that team to three team camps, okay? I put them in summer leagues, okay? I'm constantly making sure that those guys are on appropriate AAU teams. I'm doing recruiting year-round. I'm making sure them guys are getting their individual workouts. I'm making sure those guys are lifting weights. They're doing everything year-round, okay? And, like, for me, I was doing it year-round. I didn't just do it from November to March. I was working year-round with those guys. You know, I'm up at the school. You know, I'm checking on grades. I'm checking behavior. You know, it was for me on the program I came out of at DeMatha High School in Washington D.C. And then playing for Judd Heathcote for 4 years and being a college basketball player, I knew that to do that job the right way, that you got to put your time in and you got to have energy for that.
Carlson, I got to ask you now, you coached Denzel on that team, of course, when you guys won back-to-back state championships. How was it weird at first coaching your son? Or you've been coaching him for a long time, but was it weird for Denzel at all? I mean, having his dad coach at him, occasionally yell at him. I mean, talk about how that relationship went. Because that's got to be a little weird. I mean, your son's out there playing.
I've always been their coach, you know what I mean, from the time that they were, both Drew and Denzel, from the time that, you know, they were little. I coached, probably didn't know this, but I coached youth football for 8 years.
Wow, did
you? I coached youth football. I coached their youth basketball teams when they played the junior pro. Mm-hmm. I was always involved in some capacity coaching those guys. So it was kind of old hat by the time we got to high school. The expectations were set in place. And actually, Drew did a great job of blazing the path for Denzel. Great story. One time we're training, because I did a lot of training away from the actual coaching. Mm-hmm. And Drew was extremely serious about his training. And at that point, Denzel was a middle schooler. He wasn't that serious. And Drew lit in to Denzel.
Did he?
I mean, I'm not going to use the language he used, but it was brotherly language. And he basically let him know that if you're not going to be serious about this, then get out of the gym. Leave here. We don't need you here.
Yeah.
And from that point, Denzel turned it around. And I think he was like in the eighth grade at that time. And I think everything turned around from that point. But coaching Zell was a joy. We had times. I kicked him out of practice.
Did you?
I kicked him out. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I kicked him out. I mean, I treated him like every other player.
Like every other player, right.
Like every other player. You know, I kicked him out sometimes. I chewed him out. Had a 24-hour rule. I should tell you about that. My 24-hour rule. And I learned this from Tubby Smith. Okay, Tubby mm-hmm. Smith coached his son, Saul, and Gigi. Coached Saul at Kentucky and mm-hmm. Gigi at Georgia. And the 24-hour rule was this. No matter what happened at practice, no matter what happened in the game, okay, you don't talk about it in the car on the way home, and you don't talk about it at home unless they bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you talk about it the next day when you get back to the gym. And that's how we were able to maintain a peaceful environment, or someone at home would have killed me.
Right.
You know
sure.
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, my wife would have killed me. So, you know, I think I tried to abide by that for the most part. You know, I made sure. There was one time I remember distinctly kicking Denzel out of practice. I kicked him out of practice. And we got in the car. And I just totally changed the subject. Hey, what do you want for dinner?
So much tension when you first get in the car, and you just change it totally up.
Yeah, I mean, with both of the boys. One time I kicked Drew off the bus. I mean, it's...
Off the bus?
Yeah.
He walked? What happened?
Well, eventually he got back on. But eventually got back on. But, you know, you know, as a coach, you go through those things with your players. You know what I mean? They need to know. You know, that you're serious. And for them, and when people see me do it to them, then everybody else fell in line. Because not only those guys were good players.
Yeah.
So if you do it to one of your best players, everybody else is like, oh, I'm not going to do it.
It's an expectation is set right there.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Now, Carlton, you know, to shift gears a little bit now, of course, Denzel is playing here at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
He's going into his second year now. And you know what? Before he... came to you and said that he wanted to go to Michigan State. Well, once he did, a very interesting story that I didn't know about the number 45. You wore the number 45 when you were at MSU, and Denzel decided to wear number 45 now. What was that like for you? Was that special when he came? How did he come to you and tell you about that?
He
and
did.
What was going through your mind?
They hid it from me. My wife knew. They hid it from me.
So it was a surprise for you?
Yeah, I didn't know. You know, I saw Day Day at the MAC.
Draymond Green.
I saw Draymond. We're sitting in the sauna. He's like, yeah, Denzel's going to wear that 45. And I'm like, shut up, Day-Day. And so, right. I he wanted to wear 23 because that was his number in high school.
Okay.
But eventually that number is going to be retired at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At Draymond Green.
Yeah.
So I didn't pay any attention to it. And then I think Denzel told my wife, Kathy, that he was going to wear 45. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I get these pictures.
Wow.
They show up on my phone with him and his stuff, man. I'm like, really, man?
How special was that?
I was emotional, man.
Shed some tears?
Yeah, I did at the time, you know, because that number is significant because that's the year my mother was born, in 1945. So I picked that number for my number, and I wore that all the way through. No, I wore it in football, I wore it in basketball. I wore number 45 as a tribute to my mom, you know what I mean? So.
Wow, give it up for that, guys. That's special. That's special stuff right there. Now, really quick, Carlton, I want to ask you, will we ever see you on the sidelines again, whether it be high school, whether it be college? I mean, where do you go from now? Because I know you're at the MAC now.
Yeah.
Definitely enjoying that. You've been doing that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But will you ever return to the sidelines?
Absolutely.
You will?
Absolutely, I'll be back. Actually, you know, I have an AAU program. We didn't talk about that.
No, we didn't. Go ahead. Enlighten me.
We have an AAU program called Elite Nation. Mm-hmm. And we started about 3 years ago. A good friend of mine, Mark Wickard, and I have started an AAU program. And Riley's always, and Ms. Stiles always, Jennifer's telling me we're going to get a girls Elite Nation going, but
right.
No, we started out with one team, and this year we had two teams, and it's a great opportunity for young men to play AAU basketball during the open evaluation periods where college coaches are watching kids play. So actually, mm-hmm. I started that, and I don't coach like every weekend, but if they have big tournaments to go to, then I'll try to make those and sit on the sidelines, but I run the practices and different things like that. So I'm still coaching. I'm just had to free myself up to be more involved with my family.
But you will be back.
No question.
Carlton Valentine will be back. Hey, Carlton, we're unfortunately out of time, but we still got a lot of questions for you because the 12th man starts right now. Yes, well, it's that time of the show where we hear from our live audience here at WKAR Studios. The 12th man, you guys excited? Yeah. We're gonna take some questions from our 12th man. They have some great questions for you, Carlton. You ready?
I'm ready.
Well, let's start off. Trevor, how you doing, Trevor? And what's your question?
Question is, what is your favorite memory from Michigan State?
I would say my favorite memory is playing in the NCAA tournament and beating Georgetown. Being that I'm from Washington, D.C., to be able to have the opportunity, first of all, to get to the big dance and to play in the big dance, and then to be matched up against Georgetown, who back in the 80s, they were a perennial power. They had went to three straight. They went to three out of 4 years, Final Four with Patrick Ewing and those guys. But to beat Georgetown in the NCAA tournament was probably like my biggest sports thrill at playing at Michigan State.
Great. So, hey, thanks a lot, Trevor. All right, Samantha, how you doing?
Hi,
welcome
well,
to the show.
You.
What's your question?
As both a parent and a former coach, do you think parents are taking their kids' sports too seriously?
I think that some parents are. I don't think that you can have a blanket statement on all parents. What I would encourage parents to do is to have a handle on what's going on. You want to guide and direct your kids. And let them, they'll actually tell you what they want to do. They'll actually tell you what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Some parents can be overly involved. They can be overly involved. But then I have some parents who will just guide their kids and let them take the reins.
Thank you so much. All right, Jennifer, how you doing, Jennifer?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. What's your question?
I am wondering, when you're dealing with youth basketball players, how do you know when the kid has it? And when you do, how soon do you know that?
That's a good question.
I know right away.
Do you? Uh-huh. Right away you know if a kid is going to be something.
It takes me about It takes me about 3 minutes, and I can figure out. I've been doing this for so long. I train like 40 to 50 kids a week, and sometimes more than that in the summer. It takes me about 3 minutes. I can watch. The first thing I look at, I watch a kid move. If they can move, I look at the feet. I look at the hands. I look at how they move. I look at the touch and the feel of how they play. And then I look at what kind of desire do they have. What was the second part of the question? I'm sorry.
I was how soon you knew.
How soon do I know? I knew.
Those 3 minutes, huh?
Well, I can tell like within the first 3 minutes. Within the first 3 minutes of me watching a kid move and shoot. When you say have it, it can mean a lot of different things, you know what I mean? As far as being able to succeed in their sport, I can tell pretty quick.
Has there ever been a moment where a kid that you didn't think had it eventually started to come along and, you know, be successful?
Yes, and this is where, and when you're dealing with young people and their skill development, every young kid is going to develop at different times. Everybody don't. It's not going to grow the same at different times. So I really, really believe that every kid has it in them, and at some point they're going to figure out. You know, here's a good one. I got cut in the sixth grade.
Get out of here.
I got cut off my sixth grade team. Wasn't an A team or B team. It was one team, And I got cut in sixth grade. I didn't make it. Okay.
Right.
Now here's a guy that got cut in sixth grade, and I went on to be my team's leading scorer at Michigan State.
Right.
So who's to say that someone that gets cut in sixth grade is not going to have the potential to go on and do something special in sports later? That's why I really believe in kids and helping them nurture that special talent.
Thanks. So great question, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And Brian, how you doing, Brian?
Wonderful. Thank
you. What's your question?
What's more rewarding, success as a basketball player or as a coach?
It's a good one.
A coach. What I did as a player, like, it doesn't matter anymore. Nobody, I mean, the only person that really remembers is me. But as a coach, you get to touch so many different people. You get to touch so many different lives, you know what I mean? When I see a kid that can't get a certain skill and I'm training him and he gets a skill and then that face lights up, that's way more rewarding than any basket that I've ever scored in my life. And quite honestly, that's what keeps me coming back and training, because I loved it to see that look on kids' faces when that light bulb turns on and they get it. And eventually, every kid gets it at some point. It's just a matter of when they do get it.
Nothing like that moment, huh?
I'm telling you, it's amazing. That's probably the most rewarding, being a coach. Being a player, that stuff's done.
Yes, and Carlton is one heck of a coach. He is now coaching full-time. Yes, he's still coaching full-time over at the Michigan Athletic Club, where he still goes about teaching kids of all ages and even college athletes about the game of basketball. I was talking to him after the interview, and he actually had a MSU women's basketball player, Kiana Johnson, training her a few days ago. So the coaching still goes on for Carlton. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into last night's Tigers game and read your Facebook comments on the Ndamukong Suh fine. Yes, another fine for his hit on Brandon Wheat this past Sunday. Call in. Give us your thoughts. 517-355-9527. Current Sports will be right back.
With Facebook, Twitter, and smartphones, social networking is easy. But how do our brains connect with others? I'm John Dankosky. Join me on Science Friday for a look at the biology behind the brain's social network, plus a potential treatment for the deadly Ebola virus. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday coming up at 2 p.m.
So
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. Yes, I'm your host as always, Al Martin. Well, we're going to dive into last night's Boston Red Sox Detroit Tigers game. Boston now returns to Fenway Park with a 3-2 lead in the ALCS. The Red Sox can win the AL pennant. They have a chance to do it on Saturday when the Tigers' Max Scherzer faces the Red Sox' Clay Buchholz in Game 6. All right, guys, let's dive into it. Let's dissect this game. And let's get to it. All right, so right now for me, when watching that game last night, I watched the entire game, flipping back and forth between Current Sports TV and that Red Sox game. Guys, I think the tone was set pretty early. And I thought the Tigers, they kind of let a golden opportunity early in that game get away from it, to be honest with you. If you look at, you know, what transpired in that, you know, that in the beginning of the innings where Miguel Cabrera, when he was waved around, I believe it was 2-1, 2-out. You had Peralta on base. Peralta smacks it. Well, at the plate, excuse me. Peralta smacks it, I believe, to left field. Miguel Cabrera comes around. And again, it's 0-0 at this point. He comes around third. And there was confusion, I guess, on to be honest, I don't think there was confusion, but in Miguel's mind, there was confusion. I'll say that because Miguel came around that third base, and they're waving to Miguel to stop. They're saying stop, hold off at third because there's no way you're getting that home. He came around with a chance to score, and I tell you what, the ball came very, very quickly to home plate. I mean, he could have sipped some tea and read the newspaper after the ball got there. It was a long time, and Miguel Cabrera comes across, innings over. And I thought the Tigers missed out on a golden opportunity to get on the board early. And we talked about that. That was kind of the key confidence-wise for them last game, I think. That was the opportunity for them to get on the board early and, to make a statement and to feel good about this game. And it just seemed to go downhill from there. This was certainly a grind-out type of game. I mean, the Tigers did end up coming back. They lost 4-3 in the game. But that kind of set the tone for the Tigers, and it kind of just, spiraled out of control at that point, I think. And then, of course, the next inning you had Napoli smacking that homer. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I got some more I want to hit on, but I let you guys speak first.
Yeah. Getting on the board early is one thing. And the worst part is confusion's for the regular season. There's not time for confusion in the playoffs. Confusion.
You're someone in that play on Miguel being waved.
Yeah, and of course, but getting on the board early is fine. And I get the safe route. You know, you had, after Peralta, you had the bottom of the lineup who, has been hitting pretty well, even when Austin Jackson did move down. He's been playing pretty well. That's obviously a mistake you can't make.
Yeah, but you know what? I think on that play, looking at it, I mean, Miguel Cabrera, we have to realize he's not 100%. He's still dealing with that injury. And I think, honestly, that I think he saw, of course, you see the third base guy, saying, hey, hold up, go back to third, you can't come around here at home. He's so hurt, I think, that he couldn't have changed direction if he wanted to, so he just came on the way through and just said, hey, I'm going to try to score here. I know it's probably not going to happen. I think even though he saw that signal, Miguel Cabrera is so hurt. If he changed direction, that hit probably would have popped out of place or something. You know what I mean? So that was one of those things, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel Cabrera is a lot of things. Fast is not one of
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
But Tom Brookins, the third base coach, said that originally he had sent him and waved him into home and then realized, gave the stop signal. By then it was too late. And again, like Alex said, that's for the regular season. I mean, that's for spring training.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys got to get your stuff in order because, again, the playoffs – runs are hard to come by. You have to manufacture them any way you can. I mean, look at this. One-run game. I mean, that could have been the difference. And honestly, it was Cabrera's worst game of the playoffs, I'd say. Yeah. I mean, he grounded into the double play.
Into seven.
He struck out. He had the error.
Yep.
He had the, obviously, getting thrown out at home plate.
Right.
It was just it was a bad night for Cabrera. The guy is hurt. He's clearly hurt. And I think you have a good point there, too, where he is too hurt to stop that quickly.
And then move around. Any other player, I mean,
if he stops there, he's probably thrown out at third anyway.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
I mean,
but it's one of those things where you look at, and, you know, Miggy alone sets the tone for this team. And, like you said, Matt, I mean, he goes out there, hits into a double play in the seventh with an opportunity when they're trying to rally back. He bobbled the ball with that unearned run in the second. You know, the base running mishap, of course, you know, at the beginning of the game. All of those, just the Tigers didn't do the little things right throughout this game. And Boston did, you know. They stole bases. You know, there were wild pitches that, you know, those are little things, little details, little mistakes that you simply cannot make in the playoffs, especially against a Boston Red Sox team who they'll kill you. If you make little mistakes against the Boston Red Sox, they will kill you. You will pay for those little mistakes against this team. And that's one of those cases last night for him. And, you know, Sanchez started yesterday. Sanchez wasn't great, and you can make the argument that, you know, Boston, you know, figured him out this second time around. He was stellar on Saturday. Anibal Sanchez was great on Saturday. But it just seemed, though, as though that, you know, the batters were – they seemed like they took a different approach. The Red Sox took a different approach at the plate against him, and you know, and Sanchez just seemed just kind of rattled as the game went on too. I mean, you talk about that wild pitch, you know, that led to a score later on in that game. He wasn't great. John Lester was. John Lester, and he's been fantastic for the Boston Red Sox in his last, 13 starts. He has a 2.22 ERA. He's a great lefty, and he's continuing to show that he's definitely a great player. And, you know, you got to watch out for him anytime he steps on the mound. But, yeah, John Lester was great. He obviously outplayed Sanchez throughout that entire game. I thought that another big moment of the game was when Alex Avila didn't seem like himself after, you know, that collide at home plate. They're calling it a left knee patella tendon strain. But, you know, the second inning when Ross is coming and that collision happens, he said after the game, I mean, he felt dazed and eventually went out the game. But Alex Avila is a guy who's been an emotional type of leader for this team, an X factor, if you will. And, you know, him going out, I think, definitely did, you know, didn't help the Tigers' psyche as they're down early in that game. So, I don't know. Anything else, guys?
Well, you know, you talk about Lester, and you really can't forget the bullpen for the Red Sox. I mean, Koji Uehara comes in for a 5-out save.
And how good is Uehara? He is impressive, man.
He is money.
He is impressive.
I mean, it's crazy because, you know, you're scared when he comes in as a Tiger fan, and you're also scared when Benoit comes in as a Tigers fan. That's not a great place to be at the end of a tight playoff game.
Right, right, exactly.
When you fear both closers and one of them's on your own team.
Right, right. Very, very true.
I mean, if the game's close in the final few innings, you're just always thinking that the Sox are going to pull something out.
Right, you do. I mean, yeah, because, I mean, the Tigers, of course, they don't have a closer, in my opinion.
And the Red Sox just shut the door.
And they close out games, you know. And, man, I tell you, it was one of those things, you know. Also, with situational hitting, the Tigers weren't great. You know, I go back to that, you know, the bottom of the first, 2-1, 2-out, Peralta steps on the plate, and, you know, Miggy's called around. I mean, that play was so big because if the Tigers get on the board early in that game, I mean, that's, like you said, that's the difference of the game. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Tigers win. We wouldn't be sitting here talking about this.
And maybe Sanchez settles down a little bit
exactly.
more.
Exactly. A lot of factors, you know, hinder on that very beginning of the game. That's why, you know, the playoffs are so crucial. Every moment is so critical. And it could lead to so many things, good and bad, depending on where you are, on which side, what team you're playing for. So, well, now the Tigers, of course, on Saturday, they'll send Max Scherzer out against Clay Buchholz. And it's not panic time for the Tigers. I do think they'll pull that game out. If you're the Tiger, you still got to – if you're going into the psyche of where the Tigers are right now, you got to look at it and think positive. You got Max Scherzer and you got Justin Verlander, two of the best pitchers in baseball, you know, starting for you. You got to go out there, put it away, you know, try not to think about this. And even though this is a tough one to think about because it could possibly be their last home game at Comerica Park, you know what I mean? You can't think about that stuff, though. You got to go out there, clean slate, and, you know, you got to get hits. That's basically what it comes down to. And you can't have those mental errors, too, you know? like I said, it surprised me, and it surprised many out there, that you just have these little mistakes that the Tigers aren't known to make, especially a guy like Miguel Cabrera. And, you know, before we move on, though, guys, that Jose Iglesias catch was sick. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just one of the
– That's why he's
unbelievable.
Here.
It was unbelievable. I mean, going against Big Poppy, I'm sitting there. When that hit happened, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, there's no way he can get to that. Why is he even trying to get to it? And he didn't even kind of – he located it in his mind, I guess. He didn't locate it with his mitt, obviously, because he just scoops it up. That kid has a bright future, I tell you. He's unbelievable. I don't know where that made the list on SportsCenter's top 10, but it had to be up there. Predictions on the next game, guys. I mean, are the Tigers done?
I don't think they're done by any stretch. I mean, we talked about it yesterday that game five was the one that the Sox needed.
Yeah.
Because you had Scherzer and Verlander kind of waiting in the wings for game six and seven.
Right.
I think if the Tigers win Saturday, they win the series. I think Verlander's too strong in game seven, but obviously if they lose Saturday, they're done.
What do you think?
I think they're done. I gotta be honest.
You think they're done?
I think
really?
They're done.
It's an honest answer.
Go, I think the Tigers are gonna win. I think they're gonna do it. Scherzer and Verlander. I think they'll allow less than two runs each.
What's the bullpen gonna do though?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Do you think
these bats are gonna wake up? That's the key for me when I look at it. The Tigers gotta get hits, and it's like
if the Michigan State receivers can wake up from dropping passes. The Detroit Tigers.
This is a totally different team. This is Allie. We're talking about the Michigan State football team.
Oh, I'm aware.
To the Tigers.
Well, I'm very aware.
But also, a different time frame.
Different time frame.
2 days later instead
of 5 weeks.
You can't
compare them.
Of course you could. They're professionals.
To me, I think when it comes down to, man, I mean, to me, I always look at the hitting for the Tigers, man, because it's been so inconsistent, and you never know what you're going to get every single game from them. You never know if you're going to get 6-7 hits from them or you're going to get 2 or 3 hits from them. I don't know. That's so up in the air with me. And, again, the bullpen. You never know what's going to happen with the bullpen. Pitching, I think the pitching is going to be great as usual, I think. Well, Anibal Sanchez yesterday, but, I mean, when you talk about guys like Max Scherzer, Sanchez is no Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander. I think the Tigers do pull it out. I'm still iffy on the series, though, guys. I don't know. I'm iffy now. A lot of doubts in my mind.
American League record for one-run games with 4 already. One away from the Major League record, which was 5 in 1999. So, clearly, I mean, you can be iffy because all the games have been toss-ups, basically.
Very true.
I mean,
it could
very easily go either way.
And, you know, this game, last night's game was kind of one of those games. It kind of went against the grind compared to other games that we've seen in this series. It was kind of like the second chapter to this series where you didn't have a 1-0 game, you know, being carried or a scoreless game being carried late in the innings. I mean, you had high scores at the very beginning of the game. You had the Tigers playing catch-up. For first time in a week, we haven't seen that in a while. It was a different feel, you know.
Yeah, this game had a different feel to it. And it was the moment when Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder went back-to-back hitless in the ninth inning down 1-0 that I think scared Tiger fans a little bit because you're paying $20 million to get production out of these guys in this specific time frame, and it hasn't came through. And then the next game, the bullpen lets up. So I think it's a little bit of a scary time. But I heard Mario Pemba come on Jack's show yesterday. He says, that's the way it goes in baseball. People always, you know, jump on a certain conclusion. It's an up-and-down game. And the next two games, we could be seeing how Verlander and Scherzer will simply win the series for us.
Right. I mean, every game has its own story, and that story can quickly change based on the result. And, you know, you never know with baseball. And, you know, you got to have your doubts. At some point, just analyzing things for the Tigers because the bullpen hasn't been great. You saw what happened last night. I mean, just so many little things went wrong last night. I don't expect little things to happen, you know, to go wrong as, you know, these upcoming games. But you never know. Baseball, you never know. It's the playoffs. Crazy things happen.
All right, Al, here's a question for you. Does Prince Fielder get an RBI?
Oh, gosh. That's
we're doing this for points?
Man. We should do this.
He has one extra base hit.
One, I know, right? He's been so – and, you know, I heard – I think Drew Sharp had a column today I was reading, and fans were actually booing Prince. He deserves it. The fans deserve to boo Prince Fielder. I know it was a lot of – when I was reading throughout the article, I mean, a lot of backlash saying, oh, you got to stay optimistic and all that. But you're paying this guy, you know, $23 million, he's great. He's been great the regular season, but historically, we talked about it yesterday, he has not been great in the playoffs. And then your bat, his bat goes cold. I haven't seen anything from Prince since the playoffs have started.
But we were seeing the same thing about Austin Jackson. And look at him.
Austin Jackson is no Prince Fielder, though.
I mean, we're not paying Austin Jackson $20 million.
Austin Jackson is not even the same level as Prince Fielder.
True.
You know what I mean? You're paying this guy's a primetime player.
I agree. But what I'm saying is we can totally have Prince Fielder hit two home runs next game, and it won't be a conversation anymore.
That won't happen. Prince Fielder's not hitting two home runs. I will bet you $5 right now that won't happen.
All right. I'm not going to take that.
Prince Fielder is – Prince Fielder, okay, that's the question. I don't think he does. I'm challenging Prince Fielder right now. I don't think he does get an RBI next game. What do you think, Alex?
I think he will.
You think he will?
I don't see it.
The way
he's swinging the bat, I don't know.
He just looks totally out of it. He's reaching for balls. He's unsure. Well,
we're saying extra
when he
base
swings
hit?
The bat.
Extra base
hit. Extra base hit or RBI?
Oh, or RBI? Is one or the other?
Neither one. He doesn't get either one, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll get an extra base hit. RBI's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah,
it's
been
rough.
So bad.
It's been rough, to say the least.
Very rough. And like I said, you know, reading that Drew Sharp column, and they were booing him yesterday. He deserved to get booed. And, you know, he didn't want to talk to the media the game prior to, you know, last night's game. And, you know, what can you say? I mean, you just got to shake your head. At some point, Prince Fielder has to wake up. And it has to happen soon. Prince Fielder has to wake up in order for the Tigers to win the World Series, I think. If they're going to have any chance, if they do get past Boston, Prince Fielder is going to have to wake up some point throughout this. So, again, 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts on the Tigers. And I want to also read some of your comments on the Ndamukong Suh situation. Of course, he got fined for the Brandon Whedon hit last weekend. And, Alex, we also have a Shark player to watch this week in our high school football lookout. So we're going to take a quick break, come right back. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right at you.
The next fresh air, my dinner with David Sedaris. I find out many years after the fact the surprising reason why he didn't eat anything the night we had dinner together. And of course, we'll talk about his latest book and lots of other things. Join us.
That's fresh air coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it's time for Sharks Player to Watch. It's Friday. So that means Friday Night Football. High schools will be hitting the gridiron all across Mid-Michigan. And Alex, I believe your Player to Watch comes from the East Lansing and Grand Ledge football
game,
right? It is.
And the funny part is most people will think the big game to watch is Sexton Everett because that's a 7-0 versus a 5-2. Lansing teams, and with Lucas Barner, they probably haven't faced a quarterback like him yet at Sexton. So that is probably what most people will say the game to watch is. But no, Sharks Player to Watch comes from East Lansing and is actually players. And the reason being is because Mark Adams, East Lansing's running back, played at Grand Ledge last season, was an amazing track star there, played very well, and then transferred to East Lansing this year, and is now a running back and defensive back for the Trojans. So Mark Adams, and I'll say my second player to watch in a second on East Lansing, but just first with Mark Adams, a 5'11", 175 back, who's pretty elusive, more in a power set. He's more of a bigger back compared to the other one, which I'm going to get to, but him and another back are just pretty dominant so far this year. They're really keeping the East Lansing offense alive. Both really good hitting the holes. So Mark Adams first, probably going to get some anger back on his former team tonight. I'm looking to watch that game. And they're also one of the reasons why I'm watching this game is Grand Ledge started off 0-3. They knew it was playoff ready by game 4. They already knew that. It was playoff time in the fourth game because they had to make the playoffs. They had to prove themselves.
That's the epitome of optimism right there. Anytime you start off 0-3, and Matt Bird instills so much confidence in that team. He's a great coach.
And they're a good team. They beat Everett. I mean, this is a good Grand Ledge team that just like Holt had some early struggles, and they're a better team for what the record shows. So also East Lansing, a couple tough losses in the last 3 weeks. Real tough. And my second player to watch real quick, famous Tyra, the dual back with Mark Adams, 5'7", 170, a smaller elusive back, Mark Adams 5'11", him being 5'7". The question is, will he be that Darren Sproles effectiveness throughout the rest of the year? He's already totaled about 600 yards and 6 yards per carry, so off to a pretty good start with Famous. We'll have to see tonight if East Lansing or Grand Ledge will step above.
Should be a good one. Mark Adams and Famous Tyra, your Shark player to watch this Friday. All righty. And really quick, Ndamukong Suh, of course, he was fined $31,000, $31,500 to be exact, for his hit on Brandon Whedon. That, you know, we talked about it on Current Sports, Matt and I, yesterday, which is simply ridiculous. He should not have been fined for it. We asked you to comment on it, and Corey Peter says, Sue's reputation for being a dirty player makes any good football play become under scrutiny. I feel he is being targeted and being robbed of his money, but the fact is he has some questionable plays in the past that are making the NFL be tougher on him than others. They did the same with Harrison when he played for the Steelers. Travis says they fined the guy because of a negative persona on him, partially because of himself, but what people aren't cognizant of is what it's like to play a full contact sport at full speed with such high intensity. Blair says, yes, this man got fined $100,000 one week and then is hit with $31,000 this one. They are making this man to be the Bobby Brown of football. And Nick says, interesting how the NFL bans targeting, yet they themselves are targeting Sue. Thank you for your comments. I agree with just about every single one of them. So, again, we always have a question of the day. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports. And, you know, express yourself. Express yourself. All right, Matt, it's also Friday, so going into the weekend, of course, we have to give our NFL picks. What we got, man?
All righty, well, the current standings have me up by 4 on you, Al. Alex, you are just behind Al by 1 point, so it's another tight month. We all got a point for Seattle beating Arizona last night. Let's jump right in. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Give me Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yep, 3 of us. Cincinnati at Detroit.
Detroit.
Pause there. I don't know.
I know. The Bengals are a quality team. Yeah, I think the Lions are going to win as well. Yeah. Buffalo at Miami.
These are Al's teams right here, Miami and Buffalo. This is what's gotten him through the month.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with Miami.
Okay. I'll go with Miami too.
Yep. Same here. Wow, this is getting boring, guys. All right. Patriots at Jets.
Give me the Pats.
I'll take the Jets at home. Let's go.
Gronk is back, baby.
Yeah, we'll see how effective he is. I'm going to take I'm going to take the Pats, too. Dallas at Philadelphia.
How about them Cowboys? Mike Vick isn't even playing.
Yeah, Cowboys.
I'm going to take Philly at home.
Oh. Okay. Oh, all right. There we go.
I mean,
he's like, you're up for it anyway. You can take some risks.
Yeah. Chicago at Washington.
Ah, man. Give me the Bears.
I'll take the Redskins.
To go with the Redskins, but something.
I'm
going to
take
the
Bears as well. St. Louis at Carolina.
Give me the Panthers.
Panthers.
Same. All right, San Diego at Jacksonville.
Oh, the nightmare continues. Give me the Chargers.
Chargers.
Yep. San Francisco at Tennessee.
I'm going to go, give me the Titans. I'm going against my quarterback in fantasy. Yeah. But
I'll take the Niners.
You going with Colin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans, man.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Ryan Fitzpatrick, so I'm going to go with the 49ers as well. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Baltimore.
Another tough one. I'll take Baltimore, too.
Okay, that makes 3 of us. Cleveland at Green Bay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Packers.
Yep. Houston at Kansas City.
Case Keenum, man.
Here he comes.
Let's go KC. Case Keenum, though. They're Case good, Keenum. Man. I'm excited to see him.
I am, too.
I watched him in college. It was great.
Give me Kansas City.
Yep. I'll take the Chiefs as well. Sunday Night Football, Peyton Manning back in Indianapolis.
I can't wait for that game, and I'm going with the Broncos. This Ursae thing is really just, he's going to come out so focused.
Yeah, Peyton Manning is money in nighttime games.
Yes.
Monday Night Football, Minnesota at the Giants. Oh, my goodness. I bet they regret scheduling this one.
I am not watching that game, but I'm going to go with Eli.
Yeah, Giants have to get one here. They have to get one here.
I mean, come on.
This is the one to get? I don't think they're going to get it.
Oh.
You still think they're not going to get it?
Minnesota. All right, maybe Josh Freeman starts this week. All right, one more in honor of Midnight Madness.
Oh.
What does Tom Izzo wear tonight?
Man.
He's been a biker, a hippie, a race car driver, a Spartan from the movie 300,
Man.
An astronaut, a fighter pilot, and, of course, Tony Stark as Iron Man.
Yeah.
What's it going to be tonight?
Can we generalize here a little bit, too?
Sure.
I think it's going to be something from Breaking Bad.
I think so, too. I was about to say the same thing.
I don't know if they would be cool with that connotation, so I'm going to go with The Walking Dead. I think he's going to be a zombie tonight.
You think so?
What?
Yeah. So some show from AMC.
Well, either a zombie or something Game of Thrones-y. They always do pop culture.
Right.
Breaking Bad
was huge, though.
Definitely
everybody
be cool, but,
yeah.
you know, you don't want to be like Tom Izzo, meth dealer. I don't think that's going to fly with anybody, so
right.
I'm
going
to say no to Breaking Bad.
We're going to be glued. I can't wait for it tonight. Midnight Madness. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Warp, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Carlton Valentine for joining me this week. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.